Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is such a delight to be with you on this Lord's Day. You know, in John 16 and verse 27, Jesus says, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father." For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. You know, those words from Jesus helps to form the basis of this morning's sermon. And this morning's sermon text is Psalm 37. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 37, and I read to you the first six verses. Psalm 37, reading the first six verses. And it says this: "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are in your hands. We ask that you will speak to us, use us. Limit distractions, God, and where possible, totally take them away so that we may see Jesus high and lifted up and your love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have you ever felt trapped in a situation for too long? Even though you come to church and you try to be a faithful Christian, there is this thought in the back of your mind that God does not care about you. You see all the good things that are happening to the immoral, and the unjust, and the impure. And you say to yourself, God, why should they be free and I'm trapped? Essentially, why should they prosper and I suffer? You know better than saying God is unfair. So what you do is to settle at an uncomfortable place. This kind of reminds me of the story of Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in jail for standing up against racism. 27 years for fighting segregation in South Africa. And while he was in prison, Mandela saw the prosperity of the wicked while he was trapped behind bars. But there is one thing that Mandela knew, and this is it: time is longer than rope.
One of the things that is difficult for me to comprehend is that we spent such a long time here. aware moments of joy. But of course, there were painful moments because the apartheid regime was an expert in persecuting people psychologically.
Mandela always said he came out of prison a different man. What was it about life on Robben Island that changed him?
Well, you know, the fact that you could sit alone and think gave us a wonderful opportunity to change ourselves, your behavior. I felt quite ashamed because I became busy with politics and with law, and I forgot the people who were very kind to me when I arrived in Johannesburg. And I said, if I ever get a chance of coming out, as I was sure I would eventually, no matter after how long, I would make up for the omissions I made.
See, like Mandela, David, in writing Psalm 37, was now old. And there is one thing that Mandela knew, and it was that evil will not win. And he also knew that injustice will not prevail. You see, there is a sense in which he understood that the difficulties of life will not outlast God. And in the same sense, the David pictures that marvelous imagery where the difficulties of life will not outlast God. So you see, I don't know the reason why your life is the way it is. And in many cases, not even why my life is the way it is. But if there's one thing that I am certain of, we can depend upon God's love to carry us through. We can depend upon God's love to outlast the difficulties and the entrapments of the situations that we are in. Time is longer than rope. You see, Psalm 37 is an alphabet, Hebrew alphabet acrostic psalm. It is a psalm where David took each letter of the Hebrew alphabet and wrote a short proverb. So Psalm 37 reads more like the book of Proverbs. Therefore, it is referred to as a wisdom psalm. It is a psalm that our teaching that they used to use in ancient Israel to teach wisdom to young people. Because older folks have been through life and they have garnered valuable experience. And so now they have this responsibility and thrust to pass on this knowledge to younger people. Many persons believe that David was old when he wrote this psalm. So when you read in verses 25 and 26, he says, I have been young, but now I am old. And he's giving you marvelous wisdom here, and you need to listen. He said, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So he is pleading with young people, but it's a challenge to all people to walk with God through your life. Walk with God in righteousness. For the righteous is ever merciful and lends. And his descendants are blessed. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14 calls David a man after God's own heart. And if there's one thing that we can reckon about David is that he was close to the Lord. So when David speaks, I tell you, it is worth listening to. You know, Psalm 37 is also a psalm of recompense and retribution. The psalm answers a question that all of us ask at different points in life. And this is the question. Lord, it seems as if you love those who hate you more than me. You could put it in a question form. Lord, is it true that you love those who hate you more than me? You see, when you see the prosperity of those that are outside of God, it can affect how you view God. But we should not let the accomplishment and the good things that are happening to those outside of God, we should not allow that to shape or negatively shape how we view God. Yes, persons outside of God are seemingly prosperous, and David is particularly targeting those that are wicked and evildoers, iniquity workers, he refers them to as. Yes, it seems like they prosper, but just give it time. He wants you to understand that, yes, it seems like God doesn't love you right now, but just give him time. It seems like God has tilted the scale against you, but just give him time. Remember that time is longer than rope. You know, I was talking to a youngster a few Fridays ago, and I said to the young person, I said, tell me the purpose of life. Tell me the purpose of life. And the person looked at me dead in the eye and said, I don't know. I don't know. The next generation, brothers and sisters, is growing up without an understanding of God. The next generation is growing up with no sense of valuing the purpose of life embedded in God. And I won't ask for a raise of hands here, but I'm sure if I should ask you what's the purpose of life, that many persons might look me dead in the eye and say, I don't know. So therefore, in 8 words, I want to give you the purpose of life. And this is it. The purpose of life is to walk in the perfect will of God. To walk in the perfect will of God. That's it, right? And where did I get that from? I got that from Romans 12. I got that from Ecclesiastes 12. I got that from John 17. I got that from Proverbs 8. And I got that from Psalm 37. The purpose of life is to walk in the perfect will of God. I want you to repeat it after me. The purpose of life is? Wait, repeat it after me. It's not hard. The perfect of life is? Did I say perfect? The purpose of life is? All right. Wait. Let me give you the instruction. Repeat it after me. The purpose of life is? Stop. To walk in the perfect will of God. Amen. The purpose of life is to walk in the perfect will of God. And since this is the case, let's listen to the wisdom of Psalm 37. Verse 1, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious of the workers of iniquity. And I want you to write down Proverbs 24 and verse 19. Because it corresponds perfectly with this verse. I also want you to underline the first 3 words in verse 1. Do not fret. You see, the word for fret there is the Hebrew word chara. Say chara. Chara. Amen. It's the Hebrew word chara. And the word there means to be angry, to get anxious, to get excited, to get riled up in life. When you see the apparent prosperity of those that are outside of God, it's as if your focus in life shift. You are starting to live with this uneasiness about you. Because in essence, you are saying God is not concerned about your needs. The writer says, when you see the evildoer, the wicked, the impure, the immoral, those that have set themselves against God, when you see them prospering, do not fret. You know why? Verse 2. Because they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know, at the back of the church, we had a massive tree. We had a massive tree at the back of the church there that sent its roots way down. And that tree flourished for years. That tree was very prosperous. It looked successful as a tree. But that tree became an evil tree because that tree sent its roots so far down that it started to clog, block out the line that runs to our bathroom, right? And it's this marvelous, prosperous tree now became an evil tree because it was causing us problem here. You know what we did? We cut it down. So right now it's in the back and all you can see are these nicely cut trunks. And soon it will wither. Totally gone. You pass here a few years, you're not even going to know that there was a tree around there. And I think in like manner, you see the wicked prospering now, but the Bible tells us, though it might last a long time, they will soon be cut down and they will wither away. Time, my friends, is longer than rope. So, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet that David used to summarize verse 1 and 2 is the word Aleph. And it corresponds to our A somewhat. So if you want an A word that summarizes verse 1 and 2, you could use the word anxious. Do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Let's jump to verse 3. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Let's read the first part of verse 4 as well. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I want you to write down Proverbs 3 and verse 5 because it corresponds perfectly with these verses. I also want you to underline in your Bibles the first four words of verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Underline trust in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? To trust in the Lord, brothers and sisters, is to set your heart and desire totally in line with what God wants. And believing that God is able to. Able to do what? That God is able to accomplish whatever you need. To trust in the Lord is to set your heart and desire totally in line with what God wants, God's will, and to believe that he is able to. Full stop. And I say able to do what? Able to accomplish whatever you need. You see, you and I, brothers and sisters, we were created with the need to feel secure. You and I were created with the need to feel secure. God made us this way so that we will walk in His will and find security in Him. But instead of turning to God, we turn to jobs, relationships, titles, education, and education for security. But brothers and sisters, our jobs cannot take care of us. Our relationships cannot take care of us. Our titles cannot take care of us. Our education cannot take care of us. For I know many persons, and you might do too, persons who have jobs with no job security. They are in relationships but are living in agony. They have titles, but they get no respect. They have education, but even though they have education, they still can't find their purpose in life. Only God can make us secure. Only God can make us secure. So Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 says, "Cursed is the man that trusts in man." Essentially, cursed is the person that put their faith in another person. And then it says this, "The man who trusts man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." If you place your hope in anything else outside of God, there's going to be a great agony of soul that you live with. And so, the writer bids us to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. So I ask you so far, track with me, to underline three words in verse 1. What are they? Three words in verse 1. What are they? Do not fret. And I ask you to underline four words in verse 3. What are they? Trust in the Lord. So let us put those together. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Do not fret, trust in the Lord. I want you to do something special again. You know, it's very interactive, as you might realize. I want you to do something special for the person sitting beside you. Listen carefully. Don't rush it. If no one is beside you, find someone close to you. But I want you to participate if you're willing. I want you to turn to the person near to you and tell them these words. Look them dead in the eye. I don't want you to look over their head or look. No. Look them dead in the eye and say, "Do not fret. Trust in the Lord." Go. All right. Some person have three on the bench. No, you have to do it with another person. So you have to turn. Now. Awesome. You got it. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord. You know what, brothers and sisters? Standing right here, I don't know the depth of the agony or the pain that your life is filled with. Standing right here, I don't know any of the challenges or circumstances to any degree whatsoever that you are bombarded with, that you have been bombarded with throughout your life. But this I know, that God will outlast the storm. This I am confident of, that time is longer than rope. This I am sure of. If you do not fret and put your trust in God, he will bring you through. Do not fret. And I know it's speaking to someone today. Someone that is anxious. Getting excited, too excited, too uneasy, too easily perturbed. Calm. Calm. Allow God to work. Allow God to work. Just relax. Give him time. You're rough? Yes. You're right. I don't know what you're going through. It's rough, yes. But God knows, and the word of God is true. And if you place your trust in him, it will work out. Time is longer than rope. So the A word that I use to summarize verses 1 and 2 is the word anxious. And the B word that I want to use to summarize verses 3 and 4 is the word believe. Anxiety, anxious, no. No. You don't want to do that. No. You don't want to give in to being anxious. You don't want to give in to be fretting. Anxious, no. When I say anxious, you say no. Anxious, no. Anxious, no. Cut it off. Nah. Believe? Yes. Trust in the Lord? Yes. When I say believe, you say yes. Believe? Yes. Believe, yes. You know what? Let's jump to verse 5. What are the first 6 words in verse 5? Underline those words. Commit your way to the Lord. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. I want you to also write down Proverbs 16 and verse 3. That's another verse that really parallels this one. Commit your way to the Lord. Now the word, the Hebrew word for way is the word derech. Say derech. Yes, derech. It is also the same word that means road. Road. You see, the Bible pictures life as walking on one of two roads. One of the roads leads to destruction, and the other road leads to eternal life. And only through Jesus Christ can you get on that road that leads to eternal life. And if you want to talk more about walking with Jesus, I am available after church. Or you can talk to Deacon Francis. Or you can talk to Elder Blackwood. Or you can talk to Sister Baker. But while we are on this road called life, there are many decisions that we make. And one of the things that happen is that we want to get things done our way. Don't do it. Don't do that. Commit your way to the Lord and take his way and do things his way. Commit your way, take his way, and do things his way. If you are going to have it your way, that is walking down the road that leads to destruction. You know, Burger King had a tagline some years ago. I think they stopped it in a couple years now, called "Have It Your Way." I don't know if you remember that. Have it your way. You see, in this sense, brothers and sisters, it works for those who are destined for destruction. If you are going to have it your way, That means you do have nothing to do with God. You remember Frank Sinatra? He had a song called My Way. And I counted just about 28 times he used the personal pronoun I in that song. And about 10 times he used the word me/my. And throughout the song, he's just riling in ecstasy. You see, he's coming to this crescendo. Oh, I live life. Oh, I wanted to live it. And now I'm coming to the end, and I'm so happy because I did it my way. But I said, what are you happy about? What are you happy about? That is the summary of a life that leads to destruction. What you happy about that you did it your way? No. You shall surely perish if that's where you think you shall find joy. There is no hope. The only hope is in the person that let go of their way and say, God, I'm committing to yours. I like what William McDowell says. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself. Just imagine that. I give myself. My rights, my prerogatives, even my all that pertains to me, it's now wrapped up in this person called Jesus Christ. Come like when somebody asks you, so what are you planning to do tomorrow? I like Pinky and the Brain. Don't laugh. But you know, they are, so what are you trying to do today, Pinky? Same thing we do every night. You know Pinky and the Brain. All right. I haven't watched it in a while. But Pinky and the Brain trying to take over the world, right? When your life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, when someone asks you anything about your life, it's like you say, you know what? Let me talk to Jesus. Let me find out what he's saying, what he wants. You don't just make a plan. You don't just jump into anything like that. You talk to the Lord because his way are more important than what you want. Furthermore, if you are destined to hold on to your way, let me tell you the truth, you won't make it to heaven. Because heaven is all about those who have given up their way, have taken up their cross, have denied themselves, and is now walking where God is going. So I saw me stay and I saw me tan and I'm not change. You can't change me. All these things. I don't know what Bible you read. But the one that leads to eternal life say, your ways must go. It has to go. Sorry, there is no substitute. Sorry, there is no special concession for you. So I ask you to summarize three words, underline three words from verse 1. What are they? Do not fret. You have to work with me, you know. We are in this thing together. I ask you to underline three words from verse 3. What are they? Trust in the Lord. Four words? I wonder if three plus one is four. Four words. And I ask you to underline six words from verse 5. What are they? Put that together now. What sentence do you get? Do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. That's the big idea today for this sermon. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And I said, the A word to summarize verse 1 and 2 is the word anxious. When I say anxious, you say no. No. And I said B word to summarize verse 3 and 4 is the word believe. When I say believe, you say yes. Believe in the Lord. Trust in him. And the C word to summarize verses 5 and 6 is the word commit. Commit your way to the Lord. You see, Mandela spent 18 of those years on Robben Island. 18 of the 27 years that he was in prison because he stood up against racism. 18 of those years he spent on Robben Island. They had a jail there. And the video that you saw, it was when he went back to visit the very cell in which he was. One of the things that he said in that video, and you can find it online as well, BBC did it. One thing that he said is this: through adversity, I learned to triumph. No, you can learn a lot from those who have been through a lot. Through adversity, I have learned to triumph. And I say that to say this: through the difficulties of life, God is making you better. Through the pains and agonies and heaviness of life, if you stay close to him, if you remain faithful to him, if you believe in him, commit to him, he will make you better. Remember, time is longer than rope. You see, if you are going to fret, then you won't trust. And if you won't trust, you won't commit. So we are going to work it in the right order. We are going to get rid of the things that prevents us from trusting. And that is getting rid of anxiety. In essence, that sense of speaking against God, that's what happened. Because we think that God is fair to others and unfair to me. You get rid of that. So you get rid of that. And then you set your heart to believing in the Lord. It may take a while, but he will see you through. He will see you through. Commit your ways to him. Commit your ways to him. Commit your ways to him. And I say the purpose of life is to walk in the perfect will of God. Only 8 words. And I strongly believe that. That's the purpose of life. You miss that, you miss everything. You miss everything if you miss that. To walk in the perfect will of God. And how do you know the perfect will of God? By getting in God's word. Getting in God's word. Honestly, I can't help you if you don't read your Bible. All I'm saying is just words. You're probably thinking about rice and peas, or much garlic in the pot. It's just words. If you do not read your word yourself and have a personal relationship with God, please stand. So as we close, let me ask you, don't raise your hand, you don't have to speak out, but what are you anxious about? What is it that has just so bothered you for the longest while? You just feel trapped in this jail. It's like a prison. And you're wondering if God cares. What are you anxious about? You know what the Bible says? Philippians 4 and verse 9. Do not be anxious about anything. But what? Pray. Pray. Do not be anxious, but pray. If you are flustered and worrying, and all, that's not from God. The blood of Jesus against that. That's not from God. That comes to take away your peace. You can't play with that. You rebuke that. And even when you read further down in Psalm 37, it says, rest in the Lord. But the enemy will send things to take away your rest and your peace. You can't play with it, brothers and sisters. You can't try and figure it out on yourself. It is written, we shall not be anxious. We are not going to be anxious. We are going to pray. Some things are very spiritual that we are trying to fight in the physical realm. Something like your lack of peace, lack of serenity, lack of stillness, that's a spiritual attack. You don't want to play with that. The Bible said, do not be anxious. Pray. B, believe. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, everything is what? Possible for the one who believes. Everything. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Believes who believes in him and his word. Believe in the Lord. You are Christians. Believe in the Lord. He's your master. Remember, for the Lord himself loves you. And finally, C, commit. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. If you do this, I know we will be well. We will be well. So what does it mean? Time is longer than rope. What does that really mean? It means that God will outlast the storm. Do not fret. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to him. Before you sit, and before I dismiss, listen to these words from Matthew as he sing again. And talk to the Lord. Pray. Ask him to get rid of anything that is just disturbing your peace and your life. Or maybe you know someone who is just in agony right now that you need God to intervene on their behalf. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power through prayer. So join us now in praying. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for peace. Pray that you will trust God more and commit to him. And after Matthew finished, I will come and pray for you.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in. And temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
I'm going to pray right now. If you need special prayer, the altar is open for you to join me and I will pray for you. But more so, God will see that you are not asking just for the same old. You want a difference. More. A little more than the ordinary. So as I pray, at any point in time, if you feel led to join me at the altar here, please do so. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for your people. Pray for myself as well. Oh God, so easy to be discouraged when something goes on and on and on and on and on. And our laughter quickly turns to sadness. Yet we are worshiping you. Yet we try to be faithful. But sometimes it seems like you have favored those who hate you more than us. Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us not to worry, not to fret, not to be anxious, not to be disturbed at what we see happening to others. That we are supposed to trust in you and commit to you. For you shall give us the desires of our heart. Lord, when we give our way to you and allow the purpose of life to work itself out, yes, God, we know that all things will work together for good. So I just pray, Lord God, for your people. Pray for those gathered, that you will truly fill them with your success and peace, that they will experience the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it wherever you go. Precious name, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Would you receive this blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.